أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم زدنا علما نافعا وفقها في الدين وجعلنا مما يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وهو العلي العظيم أما بعد فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Beloved brothers, sisters in Islam, today is the third in a series of classes on the fiqh of purification, the fiqh of tahara, from the book Bulugh al-Maram min Adillat al-Ahkam by Shaykh al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. This topic is very critical and very important because it is from the knowledge of purification is necessary for all acts of worship. And the scholars consider this from the fard ayn knowledge, knowing how to purify oneself in order that one can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it was one of the first commands to our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says, وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَهِّرْ, and purify your thawb. So we'll begin inshallah today with hadith number 5.
وَعَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لا يغتسل أحدكم في الماء الدائم وهو جنب أخرجه مسلم.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, as was on the authority of Abu Huraira, let not one of you لا يغتسل. If any of the Arab brothers are here, لا يغتسل, this is called لا الناهية. This is a prohibitive لا. When the Prophet prohibits something, لا يغتسل. And the verb after it is majzum. It becomes, it has a sukoon on it. لا يغتسل أحدكم في الماء الدائم وهو جنوب. Let not one of you wash in still water or in standing water, and he is junub. And he is in a state of impurity, in a state of sexual impurity. The Prophet forbade that. And in a narration by Imam al-Bukhari, لا يبولن أحدكم في الماء الدائم الذي لا يجري ثم يغتسل فيه. And in the narration according to Imam al-Bukhari, let not one of you wash in still water after he has used it to urinate in it. And this is also narrated by Imam Bukhari. This is an authentic hadith. Now the question, my brothers and sisters in Islam, is what are the types of actions that are prohibited here by the words of the Prophet ﷺ? First, the Prophet ﷺ, he's forbidding a person to bathe in still water, in standing water, while he's in a state of janaba, while he's in a state of impurity, either from sexual relations or from a dream or etc. And the scholars, they differed as to the reasoning or the reason why the Prophet ﷺ prohibited this a person from washing and still water when he's in a state of janaba. The Hanafi school, they stated that when a person washes from janaba, the water that he washes with, it actually carries the janaba in it. And the water, it becomes in a state of janaba or in a state of najasa. So water that has been used to perform wudu or to perform ghusl, that water is najas. It cannot be used to wash again. It cannot be used to purify a person. Therefore, they state that, and this was mentioned in Fath al-Qadir, that the state of impurity or the state of janaba actually transfers to the water, not physically, but in a spiritual type of sense. And so, if you perform wudu from water and then you gather that water in a cup or in a container, that water cannot be used to perform wudu again. That water carries the janaba. Because the janaba has passed from the limbs, or the hadath, the impurity has passed from the limbs into the water. Again, this is not physical. They're talking about a type of spiritual impurity. However, the jumhur, the majority of scholars, they differed from the Hanafiya. And they said that the water, it has no, the quality of the water, whether it's purifying or najas, it has nothing to do with the spiritual state of the water. It has to do with the physical qualities of the water. If it's pure, if it's clean, if the smell has been affected, or the taste or color, as we spoke about last time. So they said that, what is the reason behind the Prophet for prohibiting a person in janaba from washing in still water? They said it isn't because his janaba passes into the water, but they said his state of impurity, but they said perhaps he has physical impurities on his body. And these physical impurities, they could pass into the water, and that water that he's therefore that he's washing with has now become najis because of the physical impurity that has fallen into the water and made it impure. Some other scholars, they gave another reason why the Prophet prohibited this, washing in a still pool of water from janaba. They said that a person who goes into that water, he may find himself having to urinate in the water. And this happens, and then the water will become impure, will be affected by that, and it will no longer be purifying. However, somebody might argue and say that washing from a large body of water, even if some impurities fall into the water, it's still a large body. And as we said last time, a large body of water, even if impurity goes into it, does it become najis? It does not become najis unless one of its qualities change. So the water, even if some impurity had gone into it, the water would still remain pure unless one of the qualities change. But the response to that is that through the passage of time, if every person went to the still body of water and each person they washed from janaba from it, over time, the water would begin to carry a lot of impurity to the point where the water would become najis. So it isn't for just the particular person forbidding him from going to the water and washing in it, but it's for over time. It's a type of prohibition that will have its effect over time. If every person did this in this small body of water, eventually it will become najis. A lot like swimming pools. People use them over and over, the water eventually becomes impure. So what is recommended in this case is to take the water out and to wash separately away from the water so the impurity doesn't go into the water. So for this reason, many of the scholars, they said that this prohibition, لا يغتسلن, do not wash in this water. Many of the ulama, they said that it's for karaha. It's makruh. It's not because the water is really najis, unlike the Hanafiya who say the water becomes najis, but they said it's disliked because the Prophet is teaching us to avoid polluting the water and making it, ruining it for those who will come later. He's teaching us to be considerate of those who will become later. Also, if we consider the second narration where the Prophet ﷺ, he forbade urinating in water and then washing from it, the scholars, they also say that the reason for this, of course, is for hygienic reasons, for reasons of medical reasons, as we know that the urine, it causes the growth of bacteria and fungus, and the Prophet ﷺ was very much concerned for the health of the ummah as much physically as he was spiritually. So he would teach us things that were beneficial to us, not only in the akhirah, but also in the dunya. So he did not want the people to urinate in this water, that others might come along later and wash in that water, and it would have been polluted. And of course the bacteria and fungus could cause infections, and cholera and other diseases are carried in still water. Again, the Prophet ﷺ is referring to still water, because these types of bacteria and these types of illnesses are found in still water. They're not found in flowing water. Also, what is important to understand regarding this hadith is that this text, Ibn Hajar, he mentions this text because it supports the argument of the Jumhur, the Madhab of the Jumhur, the Shafi school as well, that still water, if some impurity goes into it, it will harm the water, and the water will become this body of water, it will become impure by the presence of those impurities in the water. Imam Malik, if you remember, he said that the water will always remain pure, even if you put impurity into it, as long as one of the qualities don't change. As long as the quality of the taste, smell, or color don't change, the water will always remain pure. But if we look at this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is forbidding using that water, even if it was only a small amount of impurity that went into it. So Ibn Hajar, he decided to place this here to indicate or support the position of the Jumhur, the majority of the ulama. Also, some scholars, the Zahiri school, they took the hadith, they understood it a little bit differently. They said that the Prophet is forbidding urinating in water and using the water, And he said that this is a type of bad akhlaq or bad adab. How can a person use water that has been polluted, even if the qualities were still clean? It's not appropriate, it's not befitting to do that. And so they said that it's haram, absolutely haram to do this. And they said it's similar to the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that he said, how can one hit his wife and then sleep with her at night? He said that it's inappropriate, it's not befitting that a person can harm his wife during the day and then expect to have a relation with her at night. So this is a prohibition because the two actions, they don't go together. The two actions are not befitting to go with one another. Purification and making impurity, they don't go together. So the Zahiri school, Abu Dawud al-Zahiri and Ibn Hazm, they were the founders of the Zahiri school. They said that the two actions, the Prophet was forbidding doing these two actions together. So this is the this hadith will bring us to the end of the discussion about the types of water. And just to summarize, the scholars, they all agree, and there was a question about this from one of the sisters, is about ocean water, if it's become polluted. Can we use the water? All of the scholars agree that any amount of water, whether it's small or large, if one of the three qualities change from pollution, then it becomes najas. Even if it's the ocean, any amount of water, if one of the three qualities change from an impurity, then it becomes najas, no matter how much water it is. So they all agree to that. And they also all agree that amount of water, if none of the qualities have changed, a large body of water, if none of the qualities have changed, then it remains pure. But the category that they disagree upon is when you have a small amount of water and a slight bit of najasa goes in it. Then in this case, the Imam Malik, he said that slight bit of najasa does not affect the water because it didn't change its qualities. Whereas the Jumhur, they said that that small amount of water becomes impure. So this was just a quick summary of that. And also we can go to the next hadith, which will also expand on this topic, inshallah. Hadith number 6. This hadith, وعن رجل صاحب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن تغتسل المرأة بفضل الرجل أو الرجل بفضل المرأة وليغترفا جميعا أخرجه أبو داود والنسائي. This hadith was narrated by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, that he said that a man who accompanied the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said that the Messenger of Allah forbade women to bathe with the water left over by a man. The fadl, literally the fadl of the Prophet ﷺ forbade a woman from washing from the bucket of water that was used by a man when he took his bath. And also that a man should not bathe with the water that was used by a woman. Like if there was a bucket and the woman washed with that water, then the Prophet forbade the man to use the water from a woman who washed, and he forbade a woman to use the water that a man had left behind. But instead, they should both scoop from the water together. And this hadith is narrated by Abu Dawud and Nasa'i. And also the following hadith is related, that the Prophet ﷺ, he used to bathe with the water left over by Maymuna. The Prophet ﷺ, كَانَ يَغْتَسِلُ بِفَضْلِ مَيْمُونَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا أَخْرَجَهُ مُسْلِمٌ. So we see this hadith that the Prophet actually washed with the water that was left over by his wife Maymuna. So how do we understand the two texts? Inshallah, we'll talk about the meaning. First, when we look at the hadith, the first hadith, وَعَنْ رَجُلٍ صَحِبَ النَّبِيِّ, according to a man who was a companion of the Prophet ﷺ. In this case, we have a chain. In every hadith, we have a chain of narrators. We have the names of the narrators, عَنْ Ibn Abbas, عَنْ Abi Huraira, عَنْ Ibn Umar. In this case, it says عَنْ رَجُلٍ, according to a man. So is this acceptable in the science of hadith? If it is or it isn't? It is not acceptable, right? When you have a majhul, a person who is not known in the chain, that is causes the hadith to automatically become ضعيف, become weak, because you don't know who that person is. He could have been a liar, he could have been a wrongdoer, and he could have been an upright person. So in the science of hadith, whenever you have a majhul person, a person in the chain who's not known, the hadith becomes weak. Except, in this case, there's something that changes that ruling. An rajulin sahiba al-nabi. On a person who was a companion of the Prophet ﷺ. And in this case, this person was a sahabi. A person who was a companion of the Prophet said that he was with the Prophet for 4 years. And in some narrations it mentions his name. His name was Yuhannas. However, even if we go by the text that says that he was a man, he was a sahabi. And the sahabi, they were all upright. And the sahaba, we don't search into their character. We don't search into their whether they were truthful or liars, because all of them were upright. Allah says, "Radiyallahu anhum wa radu an." Allah gave them the tazkiyah, the honor, to be companions of the Prophet ﷺ. So, when it comes to the sahaba, when you look in the books of the biographies of narrators, they just write sahabi. The other people, they write their whole stories and they write if they were upright or if they were accurate. But when it comes to a sahabi, they're the highest level. Their narrations are automatically accepted. So this person, this man, his personality is not known, but the fact that he was a companion is known. And for that reason we can accept the hadith that was narrated by him. So the Prophet ﷺ, he forbade a woman to bathe with the water left over by a man, and from a man from bathing from the water left over by a woman. But rather they should bathe from a single pot. And this prohibition is regarding the fadl of a man. And fadl in Arabic, according to Ibn Hazm, he describes what is meant by the leftover water. Leftover water, he said, it means that when the man used up the majority of the water, and there's less than 50% left, this is called leftover. This is called fadl. And this is what we see in the urf, in common terms, when we eat some food, if we eat more than half of it, then whatever's left is called the leftover food. And so what is meant here is if the man, he took a bath and he left less than half the water, then this is called the fadl, and this is what the Prophet forbade the woman from washing from. For example, if you have a bucket that has 10 liters and a man he washed with 5 liters, then the 5 that are left over, it's not called the fadl because it's half or it's more than half or half. But if he used up 7 liters and he left 3 liters left in the bucket, then this is called fadl and this is what is forbidden. So the Prophet ﷺ, he forbade this. And the some of the scholars, they said that this is absolutely haram to wash with the leftover water. And this is Ibn Hazm and Abu Dawud al-Lahiri. They went by that ruling, that it's absolutely haram. But again, we see that whenever you have something that's forbidden, we also look at other narrations. We should never make a ruling from a single hadith. So what we see is Ibn Hajar, in his wisdom, he mentioned the hadith that the Prophet forbade washing from this water, but then he mentioned another hadith that says that the Prophet washed from the water left over by Maymuna. So when you take the two hadith together, the second hadith, it lowers the prohibition to karaha. It lowers it down from what was normally haram because the Prophet forbade it, it becomes makruh, because on some occasions he did it. Just like, for example, drinking while standing up. The Prophet ﷺ, he said it's better to drink sitting down, but there are some narrations where he drank standing up, so then it would be considered makruh and not haram. And likewise we see here, because we always have to join all of the available evidence before coming up with a ruling. So what is the reason? Why did the Prophet ﷺ forbid using this leftover water? It's a very interesting question. And Ibn Umar, his interpretation was that if a woman, she had taken a bath from that water and she was in a state of janaba or she was menstruating, some of the impurity might have fallen into the leftover water, and therefore that water could be not pure and it's not cleansing anymore. However, this argument is weak from a number of angles. First, if a woman is taking a bath from her menstruation, that means that her menstruation is over. That means that she's no longer menstruating, there's no longer blood. As Aisha, when the women would come to Aisha, they would ask her, when should we take a bath? And she would say, don't be in a haste. Wait until the blood has stopped completely, until you see the white indication that the womb is clean, that there's no more blood. So the woman, she's going to take this bath after the blood has stopped coming out. So how would the blood fall into the water? And also, this is weak because the woman, she would be she would know not to pollute the water. That's something that the woman should be made aware of, or her husband should have told her or taught her about that. So Ibn Umar, his understanding was that, why did the Prophet say, let them wash together? He said that the man would see the woman and he would warn her if some impurity was going into the water. And likewise, vice versa. The woman, she could warn the man if there was some impurity from going into the water. So the Prophet allowed them to wash together. And it's actually narrated that the Prophet ﷺ did wash together with some of his wives. So the argument of Ibn Umar is somewhat weak. But what did the Jumhur, the majority, say? What is the reason why they said that it was forbidden? The Jumhur say that it's forbidden here because it's makruh, it's disliked. Because the small amount of water, it could be touched by impurity, but it doesn't have to be. And so perhaps it's disliked to use that water because it could have gotten some impurity in it, but we cannot say that it's absolutely haram. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ, he washed from the water left over by Maymuna. And Imam Nawawi, he gives a strong proof why this prohibition is not absolutely haram, but it's makruh. He says that if you say that a man and a woman can wash together, but they cannot wash from the leftover water from one another, then that means that when they dip their hands in the water, they have to dip it at exactly the same time. They each have to dip their hands in at exactly the same time. If the man dipped his hand in first, and then the woman, then she'll be washing with his leftover water. Or if she dipped her hand first and then him, then it would be, the leftover water. So he said, it's impossible to do this. And if we required that, then they would never be able to wash from a single pot. And he gave another example. He said that when you pray in a line, and you have three people praying behind the imam, and some people, like the Hanbali school, they say that a person praying by himself, his prayer is invalidated. So he said, when the three people are praying, do they all say takbir at exactly the same time? He said, it's impossible. One of them is always going to be the first. So when he says takbir, Allahu Akbar, he's the only one praying behind the line. And so if we go by the Hanbali ruling, then his prayer is invalid. So then the next person, he says Allahu Akbar, he's also praying alone because the other one invalidated his prayer and the other one didn't say takbir yet. So his prayer is also invalid. Then the third person, he says takbir and his prayer is also invalid. So this is an argument that Imam Nawawi mentions, that the prohibition of praying alone in the line is because the person deliberately is staying away from the jama'ah, and that this is a type of karaha, but it's not absolutely haram. And he makes an analogy to this hadith, that again, that it's makruh and not absolutely haram to wash from the same bucket. The same water. Okay, so then we see also that the Prophet ﷺ, he did wash from a single bucket with Aisha. And Aisha would say to him, leave some water for me. And he would say to her, leave some water for me. So they competed for the water, which shows that they didn't take the water exactly at the same time. So finally, we could say that the Jumhur, or the majority opinion, that it is makruh, it's disliked, is a stronger opinion. Because it's not possible for people to take water out at exactly the same moment. Now there's a question that comes up, which is that when a person takes a shower, say a person uses a shower, when they're finished, there's some water left over in the water tank. And so say their spouse, their husband comes, or the wife comes to take a shower. Isn't that considered the fadl, the leftover water? So is it haram for the man to take a shower after the woman? Or the woman to take a shower after the man? Would that come under this ruling? Some people, they might think that if they took the hadith literally. But actually, when you use a shower, the amount of water left over in the tank is usually more than the amount of water used. So then we go by the opinion of Ibn Hazm that this is not called the fadl. This is not called leftover water. That's actually the source of the water. And what he used was less than the majority. So even if the if a woman did use it, take a shower, and then the man afterwards, it doesn't fall under the heading of using the fadl, and Allah knows best. So inshallah, that will be the end of this hadith, this narration. And also, just to mention here, the Prophet Maymuna, she said, the water is junub. And the Prophet said, إِنَّ الْمَاءَ لَا يَجْنُب. When the Prophet took the water from Maymuna, she said, the water is junub. And the Prophet said, the water does not become junub. So this is also a reply to the Hanafi school that says that the water can carry the janaba. But here we see that Maymuna, she said that the water, the Prophet ﷺ said that water does not become junub. Wallahu a'lam. Wa jazakum allahu khair. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah. Is there any questions?